that was funny and painful too. That bunny's cute. It reminded me of when we moved back to Canada 4 years ago to come and join the team here at FEC. I needed to renew my driver's license because we've been overseas for a number of years. And I went to the registry and discovered this was going to be a lot more complex than I thought. You had to prove residence, and since we're only coming back, I was traveling backwards and forth from Amsterdam. I didn't own a house, I wasn't renting a house, I was just staying with people. It's really hard to prove you're actually resident in the province. So they told me eventually, why don't you come with a letter from your employer? That will do the trick. I get a letter from church, go back to the registry, but no, you need to have it faxed. Come back to work, ask somebody if they could fax the letter, go back there. No, you need to bring the real one to coincide with the faxed one to see that we're the same thing. Go back again, let's fax again, I will come at the real... How could it be so complicated to get a driving license that I've had for years? This summer we are thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're thinking about this word more. How do we have more of this in our lives? The Apostle Paul lists out what he means by the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 when he says the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there's no law. We're asking, how could we have more of these attributes in our life? How could God do this for me? More love, more joy, more peace. Who doesn't want that? And then you get to more patience. Some translations of the Bible call it forbearance, or even worse, long-suffering. Who needs that? Sounds grim. Here's the problem for me. I have family members watching today. My wife was sitting down there last night, so I kind of just stood this way the whole evening. I've got extended family watching, my in-laws are watching, my friends are watching, my colleagues from work are watching, the colleagues I used to have in Amsterdam are watching, people that don't even like me are watching. What on earth qualifies me to talk about patience? The truth is, I'm not the most patient person in the world, not even close. You may have discovered that in your interactions with me. It's not like renewing my driving license was a one-off event. There was that time at the airport. I was meeting a friend and I couldn't find their plane on the list, the number, and I'm looking and getting more and more frustrated. Eventually started talking to somebody who explained to me it was a code share and they didn't show the second code, and I completely went off the deep end. I lost the plot, telling him how incompetent he was and giving it to him. And then he goes, "Well, Pastor James, it's like this." Or there's a time we thought we'd buy ourselves a new mattress and we'd gone and picked this out, and Sleep Country said, "Well, it'll take a week or two to get it delivered and it'll cost you $150. And I had no time for that, and I had my dad with me. So we just went and carried it along the side of the highway, a box spring and a mattress on our heads, walking along the road, because who's going to wait till next week to get this? Or there was the event on Deerfoot on Friday evening. I don't want to talk about that. I'll just let that go. Oh, there was a time at Disneyland. We were at Disney. Gillian pushed past all the little kids to get up front to get her photo with Buzz Lightyear, but I'm supposed to be talking about me, not her, so... I read this story this week, made me chuckle. A lady living in Seattle, she's taken the ferry home from work. She's had a long day. It's been an exhausting day. She went to the snack bar to get herself a treat, and she got one of those big Kit Kats with four fingers on it. She went and found a place to sit down to chill, got her newspaper out, started reading, thought she'd have a bit of her Kit Kat, looked down, it wasn't in her purse. And the guy beside it had an open Kit Kat. He'd already eaten two fingers. The nerve of him stealing her Kit Kat. She's so appalled, she grabbed what remained of it out of his hand, shoved it all into her mouth and started chomping on it. Then she got up and left. She was so frustrated. She's walking about outside on the deck trying to get some fresh air, and she sees the same guy show up, and he's got himself a big fat cheeseburger that he's unwrapped. So she walked up to him, grabbed the cheeseburger out of his hand, took a bite, and then hucked the rest of it into the sea. Feeling kind of pleased with herself, she went down to her car, ready to disembark, throws her purse down, looks in the car, her purse to get the keys, and there's her Kit Kat. Patience can be hard to come by, and even harder to practice. Who hates waiting? I hate waiting. I am just really bad at that. It's not a skill I have. Have you ever noticed the more expensive the restaurant you go to, the more you have to wait? I mean, in any restaurant you go to, you're waiting at least five times when you think about it. You're waiting to get a seat, then you wait to get the menu, then you wait to order your food, then you wait to get your food, then you wait to get the bill, and the person that's doing all this has got the cheek to call himself the waiter. What's that about? Every morning, every afternoon, every evening, there are lots of reasons to get frustrated. to lose her patience. Another long line, telemarketers, traffic, the internet is slow, a goal you're working at just doesn't seem to be realized, people are not doing the things you ask them to do with you. We can drive ourselves crazy with this stuff trying to deal with it. We get irritable. We lose our cool. Sometimes we feel victimized. Sometimes we try to force an outcome on other people. And most of the time, all these responses are just fairly self-defeating. They get us nowhere. Nothing happens faster by the way we respond. Or, I guess there's patience. Frustration is this feeling of agitation, an intolerance that's triggered when our needs are not met. We have this inability to delay our need for instant gratification. At our own risk, we've become far too used to immediate results. I send an email, I get a response right away. I want to know the weather somewhere else in the world. I can look in my phone. Parents don't even shout out the window or the door to get their kids to come in. They just send them a text. Medical teams have taught us much about this. To recognize the symptoms of our frustration and impatience. Shallow breathing, muscle tension, hand clenching and tightening, restless feet, irritability and anger, anxiety and nervousness, rushing, making snap decisions. Despite the marvels of our digital age, it has produced in us a low tolerance for frustration. It's not just when you accidentally delete a computer file, and I wrote that sentence on Wednesday morning. By Wednesday afternoon, I'd actually lost everything that I'd worked on all day. Wasn't on my desktop, wasn't in my sermons folder, wasn't in the trash. I was beside myself and thinking, "Ah, God, why are you doing this to me?" The frustration and the hypocrisy were rising, but it's not just when you delete something like that. Our low tolerance shows up in how we approach relationships. It shows up in how we approach ourselves. Without patience, we become our own worst taskmasters. We treat friends, we treat spouses and colleagues as disposable in our lives. Instead of devoting the necessary time to build a relationship or enhance and nurture love, we become angry and intolerant and frustrated. At times we get loud or even violent. And yet patience, if we could find it, it would let us step back and regroup instead of aggressively trying to push forward or hastily giving up on the person who seems to frustrate you most. You're able to invest time in a relationship that doesn't involve giving in or giving up. But it gives you that liberating breath that we all long to take. So how do we come by more patience? How does the Holy Spirit produce this fruit in our lives? Where do we experience this liberating breath? I want to read to you this morning in the Bible from the letter of James. James was Jesus' little brother, and he wrote something that I think is very helpful for us today. You can find a Bible in the chair back in front of you if you'd like to, or you can follow along with the words on screen here in the room or online. James chapter 5, verse 7. He writes this, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And in these few verses, James highlights for us a number of opportunities where patience could possibly emerge in our lives. He begins with circumstances that are seemingly beyond our control. He uses a farmer as an example. She can't control crop prices, she can't control labor costs or what equipment she needs. In particular, she can't control the dirt. There's only so much you can do to manipulate dirt. Nor, he says, can she control the weather. We've got cloud seeding, but that's about it. "Be patient then, brothers and sisters," he writes, "until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits. Waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains." Sometimes circumstances are just beyond our control. We have to wait. We need to learn patience. And sometimes it's people. Look at verse 9. He says this, "Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." What is grumbling? When somebody's frustrating or disappointing or you're disillusioned with them, how do you respond? Sometimes out loud, giving it. Most often it's quietly inside as we try to bottle it up. We grumble about people. We respond to those who disappoint us or irritate us. We become negative and cynical. We write them off. We become detached from them. We've got no time for them. We're not patient with them. We're grumpy. Is there anybody you've ever seen? You know, it could be walking at church, could be at home or at work or in the mall, and you walk and you see them coming and you're thinking, oh gosh, no, really? Has that ever happened? That's a serious lack of patience. It means we've given up on somebody. We tried to avoid them. But what if we could be patient with them? Circumstances are an opportunity for patience. People are an opportunity for patience. Sometimes it's problems. James actually mentions a guy from the Old Testament called Job. He writes this, "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered." You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about, for the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Some of you might know his story. Job was in the Stanley Cup finals of suffering in the Old Testament. He was right up there. His problems weren't so much about how other people treated him or the circumstances. His problems were with life and with God. He was one of the wealthiest people in his day. And in a 2-day period, he lost everything. He went bankrupt, his children were murdered, and he caught this incurable, very painful disease that nobody could help him with. You think you've had a bad couple of days. Job lost his family, he lost his finance, he even lost the respect of his friends who all blamed him for his own problems. Life isn't fair. And the truth is, in the unfairness of life, we'll seldom find out the reasons why this side of eternity. Nobody's going to explain it to you. It just isn't fair. Job didn't understand. His friends didn't certainly understand if you read the story. And yet James, when he writes this, he says, in the midst of uncontrollable circumstances, or unchangeable people in your life, or unexplainable problems, he writes, be patient. These are all opportunities for patience to grow in our lives. But patience doesn't come naturally to very many of us. So where does it come from? Right at the beginning of our More series, I wanted to remind myself as well as you that this fruit that we're reading about, this fruit has a root. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives is rooted in who God is and his character, the way he deals with us. The fruit has a root. Think about it. James puts it like this. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy in verse 11. It's this consistent theme in the Bible. You go all the way back to the beginning. The story of Moses and the Exodus. God passes in front of Moses proclaiming the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. God takes his time. He's not quick to get angry. He's not quick to execute judgment. He's compassionate and patient. Jesus' friend Peter wrote these words and said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone. God wants everyone to come to know him. He wants you to come to know him. He wants your family and friends to come to know him. He wants the people you don't like to come to know him. He wants the people you have no time for to come to know him. Everyone. And so Paul writes, do you show contempt? Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? What does all this mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means because God loves me, he's slow to lose his patience with me. Because God loves me, he takes the circumstances of my life, some of which are not of my choosing, and he uses them for my good to help me to grow. Because God loves me, he doesn't see me as an object to be possessed or manipulated. Because God loves me, he doesn't have to impress me with how big and powerful he is, and he doesn't have to make me feel small to know my place in the universe. Because God loves me, he's for me, he's not against me. He wants me to mature and develop into everything he dreamed for me. Because God loves me, he doesn't send his wrath out on me every time I slip up or fall down or make a mistake or get it wrong, and it happens often enough. Because God loves me, he's not keeping score of everything I've ever done, all my sins, so he can beat me over the head with them one day whenever he gets the chance. That's why James says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. The fruit of patience grows in our lives because of who God is and how he deals with us. He's working in our lives, in your life, to make you become more like Jesus. Now, I know when James writes here about the Lord's coming, he could be referring to the return of Jesus when we'll physically see him again. The Bible talks a lot about that. In fact, it talks more about that than it does about Jesus' first arrival here on earth as a little baby. What he's really saying when you think about that is, in the end, God is in control. History is his story. His plan for his world will prevail. Everything's on schedule. Nothing's left behind. Nothing's late. His plan is working perfectly, and we learn to be patient. God's got this. But I wonder if there's also a sense when James is writing about the Lord's coming, he's talking about the way God comes to us personally when we're struggling, when we're hurting, when life is too difficult, when we feel nowhere to go, that we recognize that Jesus is coming to us. He's on his way to help us. We don't need to tough it out. God is on my side. I read a story of an old pastor. I read some of his books called Phillips Brooks. There's a story of an occasion when he's pacing about in his office and one of his church members was in the building, walked in and asked him, "What's wrong?" And he says, "I'm in a hurry and God isn't." Have you ever felt that way? God's just taking his own sweet time, not explaining, not answering, not doing. It can be so frustrating. But I want you to get this. It's a quote that we've had out in social media for you to think about during the week from a lady called Bethany Dillon Bernard. And she says this: "God can do more in my waiting than in my doing I can do. God can do more in my waiting than in my doing I can do." Imagine that. God can do far more when I'm waiting for him than I can ever accomplish running around on my own thinking I know what I'm up to. James goes on to say, "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered." We count as blessed those who have persevered. It's how the fruit of patience grows in our lives. We persevere. So what is my part? My part, your part, our part. What are we supposed to do? You know, there's really only one of a couple of ways that you can actually respond when disappointments happen or frustration occurs or patience begins to evaporate. Either you trust God or you trust yourself. That's pretty much it. You trust God, his timing, his schedule, his plan, or you trust yourself and you try to figure out the way out yourself. Figure out what you think should happen. Only two things. Some of us could trust God. We could say to ourselves, "God must know. God knows. He's wise. He's smart. He knows what's going on. I'd never have chosen this path for myself, but I believe that he can make something good come out of the mess I find myself in. God knows. I'll trust." One of her books, a missionary with the name of Elizabeth Elliot, she wrote this. It's part of her journal. "God is God. And because he's God, he's worthy of my trust and obedience. I will find rest nowhere but in his holy will that is unspeakably beyond my largest notions of what he's up to." She knew what she was writing about. The people that she and her husband went to tell about Jesus, they killed her husband. She knew. Bad things happen. And what she's really saying is, we can learn to trust God even in the bad stuff. Because if I know what God is up to, and I believe that he's somehow involved, and even if it's going sideways, he can make something out of it all, I discover God's peace and God's patience. Our impatience, really, when you think about it, is a lack of humility. We need to humble ourselves and say, "I don't know, but I'm sure God does. God is God. And I'm going to trust him no matter how long this takes." But if that's not working, then I guess the other thing you could try is to trust yourself. Trust yourself. Never mind God and his assessment of what's going on or what he thinks he can do. You just figure it out yourself. And you could say to yourself, "Not again. That's not fair. I can't believe this is happening to me again. I don't deserve this. This is somebody else's fault. What do they think they're doing?" Maybe you're thinking, "That is my usual conversation with myself." Of course it is. Because we think we know what everybody else deserves, and we usually end up high up the pile. Because when something bad happens, that's what we get to choose. Between God knows or I know. That's how we're going to respond. God's wisdom, my wisdom. One of two ways. Choosing to trust God leads to rest and calm and peace. Maybe not in the moment, but it does. Something changes in our hearts. We just learn how to forgive. We learn how to be patient. But if you give in to trusting yourself, trying to figure it out on your own, you know what happens? We go down this slippery slope towards resentment and self-pity and cynicism and anxiety and restlessness. Maybe you'll get an ulcer, even a heart attack. So how can I learn to trust God? When impatience is creeping up on me, and it does, how do I learn to trust God? Well, there's basic things we can all read about. You could go online and Google them up. I did. There's all sorts of things that would just help us be a little more patient. You could take deep, slow breaths and count to 10. It actually works. Breathing slowly and deeply slows your heart rate. It relaxes your body. It distances you emotionally. It helps you from your emotions. It helps you be a little more patient. If 10's not working for you, go to 100. Just take some time. Impatience makes our muscles tense involuntarily. So if you're consciously focusing on relaxing, you're actually making yourself become a little more patient. You could try forcing yourself to slow down. Maybe just walk a little slower, think a little slower, speak a little slower. The point is, if you act patient, you'll become more patient. You could practice active listening, empathetic listening, actually listening to everything the person's saying, looking in their eyes, resisting the urge to say something, and just being patient. You could remind yourself that your impatience rarely improves anything. Nobody will move faster because you're impatient. All you'll do is get stressed and angry and even more frustrated. But there's a couple of specific things that I'd like us to focus on today, that I need to focus on. Maybe you do too. We could learn to manage our emotions, because our attitude, our response in these tough situations are really our own choice. You choose how you're going to respond. Nobody makes you. You can choose to be patient or not patient. It's up to you. So here's an idea. Next time you go to Costco or Superstore this week, choose the longest line. Seriously. Seriously, get in the longest line. I know there's the 16 items or less, and there's the self-checkout, and there's the girl, the guy who can make it whiz through really fast. You pick the longest one and just wait. Just wait. Or maybe it's traffic. You're stuck in Glenmore or Deerfoot or McLeod. You don't need to weave around every which way. Just sit there and wait and wait and wait and manage your emotions. Maybe you could let the fruit of patience grow in the soil of the long line. You could hang out with patient people. The book of Proverbs says this: don't make friends with a hot-tempered person. Don't associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. In other words, frustration and anger and impatience, they're contagious. You can catch it from people. What if we purposefully chose to spend time with people that are more patient than us? We all know somebody's more patient than us. What if we nurtured that friendship to spend time with the more patient person so that some of that could influence us and change how we approach life? Maybe we could let the fruit of patience grow in our well-chosen friendships. Here's a tough one. Don't retaliate. We've all had those moments when we've said something and 5 minutes later you wish you could rewind the tape. You wish you could get the toothpaste back in the tube, but it's all too late. We've said it. The damage is done. I was reading this week about a story of a guy. He was so mad at his father, the way they'd been brought up, all sorts of terrible things that had happened in his life, and he was getting it all on paper and vomiting all over the paper, this hate, vindictive thing that he was writing. He signed it, he put it in an envelope, and he gave it to his friend to post it because he didn't even want to leave the house. His friend wondered about that and just put it in his pocket but didn't go to the mailbox. The next day, when he'd cooled down a little bit, he went to see his friend and said, I wish I hadn't sent that letter. It was a better way to deal with this. I wish I hadn't sent that. I'd give anything to get that letter back. And his friend said, how about $100? But in truth, sometimes we're not fortunate enough to get the letter back, are we? We've said it. We've done it. We can't take the letter back. Everything's gone sideways. If only we could learn to delay. If only we could refuse to retaliate. Who knows what might happen? Don't retaliate. Let the fruit of patience grow as you learn to hold back. Most of all, we need to look to Jesus. I need to look to Jesus. When Jesus went to that cross, he did it for us. He died for our sins. He took the punishment that we deserved. He did it so that we could experience God's forgiveness, so that we could be welcomed into God's family. He did it so that we could be part of what God is doing to make his world brand new and the way it ought to be. God has a unique purpose for your life, for you, uniquely you, to be part of what he's up to. And if you don't know what that is, my prayer and desire is that you will come to discover that quickly, to realize that God has you here for a reason. You need to know what that is. That reason's not to listen to me. It's something far bigger and far more majestic. Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you chosen to follow him? Have you part of God's family? Do you know you're forgiven? Do you know your purpose in life? Because today could be your day. Last weekend, people said yes to Jesus. You could simply do that right now in your seat. Invite Jesus to become a part of your life. Tell him the true story of who you are and tell him you want to follow. And we need to get this because of Jesus' perfect patience, because of his giving of his own life for us. He was patient so that God can become patient with our impatience. God never gives up on us. He never walks away. Long suffering? Look to Jesus. Patience? Look to Jesus. Take time to reflect and meditate on him when things are washing over your life or your heart's bitten by anxiety or trouble. We end up looking to Jesus. He was perfectly patient, even when he felt abandoned by God, so that he could work in my life to make me patient till somebody can see Jesus in me. Recognizing how Jesus has saved us, it begins to make us more patient. And it also reminds us that I don't need to despair in those moments when I fail and I'm impatient, because God loves me and he will never give up on me. If we learn to look to Jesus, we begin to walk down that road that allows the fruit of patience to grow in our lives. So how do I wrap up today? Do I pray for patience for you? For me? I'm guessing if I did, something bad would happen. Somebody will spill coffee all over my nice white shirt, that'll be that ruined, and I'll have the opportunity to forgive them. Somebody will cut me off on the way driving home, and I'll have the opportunity to smile nicely. Actually, last night they closed the top of the road at 114 for repaving. Nobody could get out of here. Everybody was trying to practice patience. Maybe it'll be a project at work and it'll stall out and I'll need to think of a new way. Praying for patience is a risky business. So here's the deal. I'm not going to pray for you for patience. You can pray for that for yourself. It's your own problem. Because if you pray for it, God might answer your prayer. But maybe I need to take one of these simple little steps we talked about and allow God to slowly work in my life. Trivial as it sounds, to get in the very long line at Superstore and just wait and manage my emotions. To choose to hang out with more patient people who could begin to influence my life and help me. To quit retaliating and to stop talking so much and just listen. And most of all, to look to Jesus. So that's what I'm going to pray for us this morning. That we'd look to Jesus. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you that Jesus came for us. Thank you for his perfect patience and that has made us right with you. Thank you that when even I am impatient, that you are so kind and loving and forgiving. And Lord, we long for this liberating breath of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to blow through this room right now, or where we are at home watching. We invite you to blow right into our lives right now and begin to work in us. This is hard for us. We literally laugh, but we are too scared to pray. But we pray that even in our tiny steps, that you would come and grow this fruit of patience in our lives. Till one day it bursts out and people can see the fruit of the Spirit in us and they can see that we look like Jesus. So thank you today for your patience with us. Help us to learn to wait on you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.